Good morning, and welcome to our worship service this morning. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Father, we glorify you for preserving us in this life and for sending your Son to be our Savior. O Jesus, Son of God, we praise you for the salvation that you won for us. O Holy Spirit, we thank you for bringing us to life through faith. Come to us, strengthen us, keep us, and work mightily in us through the word in our worship today. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for this morning is hymn 895. You to follow along with our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our own unworthiness and confess our sins before God and one another, that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God, and God gives them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. To God on high be glory, and peace to all the earth. Goodwill from God in heaven, proclaimed at Jesus' birth. We praise and bless you, Father, your holy name we sing. Our thanks for your great glory, Lord God, our heavenly King. To you, O soul begotten, the Father, Son, we pray. O Lamb of God, our Savior, you take our sins away. Have mercy on us, Jesus. Receive our heartfelt cry. Where you in power are seated, at God's right hand on high. For you alone are holy, you only are the Lord. Forever and forever be worshipped and adored. You with the Holy Spirit alone are Lord Most High. In God the Father's glory, amen, our glad reply.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful people to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found, with you in heaven. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for this morning, a very fitting reading for this Mother's Day, is Proverbs 31. We'll read verses 10 through 31, the description of the virtuous woman or the virtuous wife. A reminder also on Mother's Day that we should not only show our appreciation to those who are mothers or grandmothers among us, but show our appreciation for all Christian women and the essential role they play in our lives. We read then from Proverbs 31. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands to the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her husband or her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading for this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll read verses 4 through 10. Glory to you, O Lord. In these verses, Peter speaks of Jesus as being like a stone, a living stone, the cornerstone of our faith, but for those who are opposed to Jesus, he is like a stumbling block. Peter writes, coming to him, to Jesus, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please rise. Let's join in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on the top of page 6. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 909.
Thank you.
seated. We ask the children of our congregation to come forward for their children's sermon.
Good morning. Have you seen one of these in your car before? Your parents probably use them. Do you know what it's called? A GPS, yep. It's essentially like a map that tells you where you need to go. The car on the screen there will follow the road, and as long as you're following the red line on the road, you're going the right way, right? Yeah. This past week, I was driving through some thick forests into some hills, and there was one road I needed to get to because the place I was going was just on this one road. I wanted to find that one way to get there. And I had a choice. I was following my GPS. I could say, well, this tells me to go this way, but I'm just going to figure it out for myself. I'm going to go on whatever road I want and just drive through these woods and hope for the best. Do you think I'd be here this morning if I tried to do that? I'd probably still be lost, wouldn't I? There's a lot of woods and a lot of hills and a lot of different roads going a lot of different directions. Or I could say, I'll follow what this map is telling me to do. Follow what the GPS tells me. When it says to turn right, turn right. When it says to turn left on this road, turn left on that road. That's a smart thing to do, isn't it? Yeah. How does that relate to our sermon today? What does that have to do with what God's word says?
How we follow Jesus.
Very good. How we follow Jesus. Jesus tells us, and we're going to hear him say, I am the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no one comes to the Father in heaven except through him. So we can choose to say, well, I will listen to what Jesus says and follow his ways in the Bible and believe in him for salvation. Or we can say, I'm going to come up with my own way, and I'll just pick some different way to go there. Are we going to get there if we do that? No. There's a feature on most GPSs that if you tap a certain button, mine has this button, a home button. If you tap that, it'll automatically go and take you to your home. I don't have to go very far from my home. It says 150 feet. But if I was a long ways into the woods or in the hills, and I tap that home button, this will find the way to get me home. And as long as I follow that, I'll get there, right? Jesus says he is the way to our home in heaven. When we follow him, when we hear his word and believe what he says, and believe in him, we will get there. How do we know that we can trust him? How can we know that we can follow what he says is the way to heaven? How do you know? Very good. Yep, that's not only the way that he said we get to heaven is through his death on the cross, but also the way we know that we can trust him and that we know that he loves us so much that he died for us. How do we know that he's going to be there in heaven waiting for us? He didn't just die on the cross. What else did he do? Yeah. He rose again, right? And he says in the verses we'll hear today that he is going to prepare a place for us so that where he is, there we will be also. Yes, Reese. Yep. We'll be there in heaven with him. Yep. So listen for those words today. Jesus telling us he is the way to heaven and that he's preparing a place for us there too. Okay. Have a seat. Please rise. Grace to you and peace in the name of our Savior Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation are those words from Jesus that I mentioned a bit earlier, words from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me
has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the work themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. These words of Jesus from our text are part of what Martin Luther once called the best and most comforting sermon given by Christ our Lord on earth. I would agree with that statement. I believe these are among the most, if not the most, comforting words Jesus ever spoke. And that's saying something, because Jesus spoke many, many words of comfort. I have used these words many times to comfort people when they were on their deathbed. I will use these words oftentimes at a funeral to comfort the friends and family members of one who has just recently died. These words give us everlasting hope, comfort, and peace. They are the very words of life. But do you realize that these incredible words of comfort to us who believe are also seen by many as being very controversial words? Why? Well, most people don't have a problem with Jesus or his followers saying things like Jesus is a Savior, or Jesus is a way to heaven, or Jesus is a God. But have you ever heard thoughts expressed like this before? There are many paths to God, but ultimately they all lead to the same destination. Or one similar that says this, it doesn't really matter what religion you are, since we're all worshiping the same God anyway. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you've probably heard thoughts like that before. You've probably heard people express opinions or beliefs like that. It's very common, extremely common. Those are nice thoughts. They sound good. Any way leads to heaven. That sounds great. But is it true? Never mind what I say, or what you say, or what the world says. What does Jesus say? Notice first what Jesus does not say. Jesus does not say here, I am one of the ways, I am one of the truths, I am one of the givers of life. No, Jesus clearly says in our text that he is the only way to the Father, and the only way to heaven. Listen again to his words. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. As Jesus' followers, then, as his believers, we speak what Jesus says. We believe what Jesus says. So we believe and speak the same thing. Now, Jesus' purpose in speaking these words was, of course, not to pick a fight with the other religions of this world. He was not intentionally doing it to be controversial, even though his words naturally, as Peter said in our reading this morning, would be a stumbling block to many people. He spoke these words on this night, the night before he was crucified, for the purpose of giving comfort, great comfort to his disciples. He was about to be crucified for the entire world's sins. That would be a hard thing for his disciples to see and watch and observe. And so Jesus' words gave them comfort and peace. As he says a little later on in the chapter, peace that the world cannot give. Jesus' peace. The problem for many people is that they can't see past the controversy of Jesus' claim to be the only way to heaven, and they completely miss the comfort that is there in these words. Comfort for our hearts, comfort for our souls. Listen again to those words from the first half of our sermon text.
Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus makes it very clear in our text not only that he is the only way to the Father, but he says that he is equal with God the Father. And as he says earlier in the Gospel of John, "I and my Father are one." He spends a good portion of the verses of our text explaining this fact to Philip and the rest of the disciples, who apparently hadn't completely understood this concept, that Jesus and the Father are one. And can you blame them? The concept of God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit being all three one is impossible for our minds to fully comprehend and understand as well. Now, we certainly believe it by faith because God himself, because Jesus himself says it to us, but we can't fully comprehend that with our limited minds. It's something that God must lead our hearts to believe. That's exactly what Jesus does for his disciples in the last half of our text. He says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the words or works themselves." If Jesus and the Father are one, as Jesus says, then it follows that if you know Jesus, then you know God, and you will one day know heaven. However, if Jesus and God the Father are one, as Jesus says, and your faith has no Jesus, then you have no God, at least not the true God. Ever since the fall into sin, mankind has been searching for that way to God. By nature, human beings would like to believe that our own hearts can come up with some way to either reach God or please him or be in the place where God dwells someday. Some thoughts that come to our minds and hearts naturally are things like we should work hard enough to please God and one day we will see him. Or one that we mentioned in our text, that no matter what we do, all roads will eventually lead to him in an eternal paradise of some kind. But as we were reminded last Sunday in our reading from Isaiah, the natural inclination of human hearts is not to find the right way, but actually to stray. Listen to these words from Isaiah 53. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Not to God's way or Jesus' way, but to our own ways. Left to ourselves, our life is like a maze that has no solution. Our own ways do not lead us to God or to heaven. The prophet Jeremiah reminds us of this truth. He says, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." Jeremiah chapter 10. Jesus actually tells us where these many ways lead us. He says these other ways literally lead to a dead end. He says, "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." He also encourages us then to go and enter by the narrow gate. And he refers to himself as that narrow gate. He says that way leads to life. He is that way, the only way to know God and the only way to heaven. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus says that very clearly and plainly in our text. Those are not my words or your words. Those are the words of Jesus himself. He is the way. Because by his sacrifice on the cross, he bridged that unbridgeable gap between God and mankind, taking away that barrier, that chasm that our sins created, and paved the way of heaven for all people. Jesus is the truth. Not just because as the sinless Son of Man, he always speaks the truth. He is truth. He is the embodiment of truth itself. As John put it in his first chapter, he is the Word made flesh, full of grace and truth. He is the truth of God who tells us about himself and how he is the way to heaven. As we mentioned in our children's sermon, like using a map or a GPS, Jesus is, he and his word are that map, that way that points us to eternal life with him. Jesus is the life. Because he is the originator of all life. Again, as John tells us in his first chapter, that all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And through Jesus, true life is given. As we heard last week in our sermon, Jesus said these words in the Gospel of John, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Jesus' death and his resurrection on the cross promise us a life that is never-ending, everlasting. We read again Jesus' familiar words when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." The amazing fact is that Jesus has entrusted you and me with this very way to God. And he has blessed us with faith to believe in him and to believe those words. He's given us the truth of his words that we might have life, everlasting life, and know the way to heaven's mansions. He doesn't want us to keep that message, that great gift to ourselves, however. He wants us to share that way, that truth, and that life with others so that they too may share heaven with us one day. So may this thought be our comfort, our strength, and our motivation. We know Jesus, therefore we know God. And one day, we will know heaven. Don't take my word for it. Jesus himself says so. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free Spirit. Amen.
You may be seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. Thank you.
We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 526. Rise. We offer a special prayer this morning for mothers everywhere in our general prayer today. We also offer a very special prayer that's very fitting for Mother's Day as we rejoice to announce that Dan and Angela Gullerud are expecting a baby in November. We bring these prayers to our Father's throne. Are there any other prayer requests for this morning? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from Him. Dear Lord, through the psalmist, you have reminded us that children are a wonderful blessing sent from you to lighten our earthly burdens and to fill our hearts with joy. We ask, dear Lord, for your gracious care and protection upon Angela and her baby who is yet to be born. We ask you to preserve her and her child from all harm and give them both good health. We pray, O Lord, that she would have a safe delivery and a healthy child. Dear Heavenly Father, since it is you who bestows the gift of children to us as an inheritance, we ask you to hear our prayer and to do for Angela and her child according to your good and gracious will. In Jesus' saving name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord, in your word you tell us that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Eternal and almighty God, the source of life and in whom alone true fulfillment of life can be found, with humble hearts, we come to you today for your blessing. We come to you also thanking you for the gracious gift of life which you have given to us, for a mother's arms to hold us, a mother's love to enfold us, and a mother's care and tenderness to provide for us. Especially we thank you for the greatest gift of all, your only begotten Son, born of a woman, through whom we have become your children. By sending him in human flesh, born of a woman, you hallowed womanhood. We praise you for all godly women who have shared with others their faith. Fill them with an even deeper sense of responsibility for the families that you've given them. Help them to train their children in the ways of Jesus, who alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Help them to be wise counselors and true companions. Make them patient and untiring in all their labors with you to raise Christ-like men and women for tomorrow's world. Grant them the compensation of a love that is returned. Fill them with the satisfaction of knowing that they have lifted up those entrusted to them into harmony with your eternal plans and purposes. We make our prayer in the name of Jesus our Lord, who from the cross remembered and honored his mother, and by his sacrifice redeemed all mankind. And in his name now we join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn for this morning is hymn 861.
Good morning. A lot of hymnals being put away. You didn't hear my first good morning. Good morning to all of you. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. Welcome to all of our guests and visitors who are with us today. And a very special, blessed, and happy Mother's Day to those of you who are mothers or grandmothers or even great-grandmothers this morning. A couple of announcements this week. Friday and Saturday, I'll be conducting worship services and doing visits in Southern California. So if I'm needed Friday or Saturday, please do reach me on my cell phone. Next Sunday, our Bible class will be at its usual time of 8:45, and our worship service will be at 10 a.m., usual times here for Mountain View. And then East Bay and Hayward would be 1 p.m. worship, Bible class at 2. Are there any other announcements this morning? I believe we do have one. Yes.
Yes, I have a letter from Paul Tipo, who we called recently to serve as principal and teacher. He writes, "Dear members of St. Stephen, after prayerful consideration, I have decided to return the call extended to me. I truly appreciate the many comments you shared with me, as well as the prayers that were offered on my behalf. I recognize the great work the Lord has set before you and pray he quickly provides for your needs. Yours in Christ, Paul Tipo."
Obviously not the news that we were hoping and praying for, but we trust that the Lord has a teacher in mind for us, and we pray that he will guide us to that teacher soon. We'll be keeping you in touch when we have our next call meeting, and the Board of Ed will be addressing the teacher call in the very near future. Any other announcements today?
It's your birthday.
Oh, it is.
So we're going to sing
it. Oh. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Always a joy to have your birthday on a Sunday when you're the pastor. You can just stand there awkwardly as people sing to you. Just for the record, I am actually 39 today. It's not the lying age 39. You know how people say I'm 39 and they say that until they're dead. I'm actually 39, so it's not a lie. Any other announcements today? Any other birthdays? Any other festivals, holidays, or otherwise today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.